Hello, I am Julie Zeglin, the managing editor of Technically, a news site that covers local economies and change. And this is Technically on the Record, our new weekly podcast and show, and in which we will do a deep dive into one of our market's biggest stories of the week. It's a chance for us to look into our reporters' virtual notebooks and hear lessons from the tech communities of Philadelphia, Baltimore, DC, Delaware, and Pittsburgh for other cities around the country. So today with me, I have assistant editor Stephen Babcock. He is our representative in Baltimore, as well as right now in Pittsburgh. So Stephen, welcome to Technically on the Record.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Julie. It's great to be here.
Yeah. So you have been doing a bunch of reporting on Pittsburgh recently, which is a new market for us. Can you tell us a little bit about what that project looks like?
Yeah, it's building on the great work that we've done previously in Pittsburgh. That you led a project a couple of years ago that was really going into the open data community specifically, but now we've really broadened the scope out with, we're doing a year-long series there, and we're looking at the wide scope of the innovation community and how jobs and the workforce is changing alongside that.
Yeah, awesome. So how did you approach this story that we're going to be talking about and reporting on Pittsburgh in general, since you are based in Baltimore?
Yeah, I think, well, one, I should say many stories that we'll have will be, done by local freelancers. We've had two of those published so far, which have been great out of Pittsburgh. But, for me, I'm the editor on the piece. So it was really important to get the contours of the place and the innovation story. And I think I went into it from a mindset of learning, right? So essentially, what are the main anchors and what has really shaped the community? So, as a reporter, you're always looking for trends. So I think a big thing that stood out to me there was the fact that all these bigger tech companies, kind of the name brands of Silicon Valley, have all taken up shop there. And it's not only that they are there, but they also have engineering offices where, there's teams of software developers that are contributing to either current or future projects that they are looking to tap into.
And so what did you find about why that is? How did that trend get started?
Yeah, the short answer is that it was Carnegie Mellon University's talent in AI and robotics. And that's really unique, specifically around, the robotics field. But as it turns out, that goes back decades, long before even Google got there in 2008. We're talking about 40s, 50s, there were important innovations that were going on within Carnegie Mellon. And they've always been a place that's developed talent. In 1999, the Wall Street Journal called Pittsburgh Roboburg, and that was kind of one way that it got on the map. But, there's been a lot of work that's gone on for decades to kind of lay the foundation, as we say in the piece.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks. And what are some lessons that other regions might be able to take from Pittsburgh's innovation story, going from a steel town to a tech innovation hub?
Yeah, I think it's difficult to replicate the depth of talent, considering, as I just said, that, the AI and robotics pipeline has kind of been building there for decades. But I think each city has its own unique anchors that they can really focus on and think not only about how those anchors are the source of discoveries and how they're the source of drawing people to work specifically at those institutions, but also how they can be wider economic, engines in their own right.
Right. And so, still in the middle of a pandemic right now, of course. So can you talk a bit about how that has played out in Pittsburgh and how that's affected what you've been reporting on?
Yeah, a big takeaway, one, was just my process was affected by this in the sense that, we kind of started this in January and at that point, we were looking at running it in maybe around March. But at that point, obviously the pandemic hit, which changed lots of publishing schedules, including ours. And we also, we're covering economic change, but that was an economic shock, right? So just also seeing where kind of things, shook out in the immediate term. Interestingly, the trend that we had identified, though, continued in the sense of Zoom, which became the big video conferencing software to kind of get a bump during COVID-19, actually also joined the ranks of those other companies that have moved to Pittsburgh and now say they're going to set up an office there. So, yes, the pandemic is happening, but, we're still seeing kind of the same trend lines, at least on that story playing out.
Stephen Babcock, assistant editor at Technically. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Julie.
Yeah. And now for the kicker, a quick roundup of tech news from our other Technically markets. In DC, reporter Michelle Graham recently covered Gaithersburg, Maryland's Novavax, which was awarded $1.6 billion to further develop its coronavirus vaccine. The company will use the federal funds to move its COVID-19 vaccine candidate into the third phase of clinical trials, establish large-scale manufacturing, and produce 100 million vaccine doses as planned. Over in Philadelphia, Curalate, which is one of Center City's most prominent early tech darlings, has been acquired. The company, which focuses on providing shoppable social user-generated content and influencer marketing tools to brands such as Best Buy and Lululemon, will be joining the Austin-based product reviews company Bazaar Voice. The company has played an important role in showing how a tech economy might fit into Philadelphia's business ecosystem. Over in Baltimore, some reporting from our own Stephen Babcock, who you just heard from. WeWork nixed its lease for its massive Baltimore co-working space. After some turmoil that began for WeWork in 2019, the co-working company and real estate company Armada Hoffler Properties agreed to terminate the lease for the planned space in a new building at Harbor Point. It means a big player won't be entering Baltimore's already active co-working community. And in Delaware, reporter Holly Quinn spoke to the teens behind the Instagram accounts calling out racism at Delaware schools. They were inspired by Black students in Philadelphia mainline schools. These Delaware high schoolers are taking the moment and standing up with stories of racism, homophobia, and predatory behavior in private, BoTech, charter, and public schools. And I neglected to mention that our Curalate story in Philadelphia was written by reporter Paige Gross. So thank you so much for joining. This has been Technically on the Record.